Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
FM News Talk 97.1.
Okay, there's a lot going on out there, but you know what? Chad, everybody is really fired up one way or the other about the mask mandates. And as long as you want to have your say on this, I will listen. And we've had people on both sides of the issue here calling, and that's what this is all about. By the way, you're saying, wait a minute, that voice doesn't sound like Annie Fry. And you'd be right. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie. The number here, 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. What I really do want to get to at some point in the next couple hours or so. But yeah, we're going to go back to phone lines on the mask mandates. We've got the McCloskey controversy has a new twist to it. Now there's a petition trying to get them disbarred so they can't make a living anymore. So I'll tell you what that petition says and get your thoughts on that. And a young woman finds out, and she is stunned to find out, that there are consequences for your actions. That's not supposed to happen to people on the left. If you're an extreme leftist, you're not supposed to have consequences for what you say. And she found out that there are. And she's upset about it, and I'll give you three guesses who she blames for it. All right, so this is day one of the mandatory mask era in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. So two questions for everybody, and then I'm going to go back to the phone lines here. Let's see here. Who's going to be first? I'm going to yank this thing around. We're going to start with okay, so Debbie, hang on. Debbie, you're going to get to you first. Is it a good or bad idea to mandate the masks by government? St. Charles County does not. Jefferson County does not. I'm not sure about the Illinois counties, but I've not read about any of those. So if you're an Illinoisan, then let me know what's happening on your side of the state line. The question is, are you complying? Are you okay with it? And to me, and this has been some really interesting discussion, whether or not you should wear a mask, to me, is a separate question from whether or not the government should mandate the mask. And I'm open to the discussion of every aspect of that. But let's start with, like I said, Debbie here. And Debbie, you are on the air. Are you a mask wearer? And what do you think of the government mandating it?
I am not a mask wearer. I really think that it should be up to the individual. Mm-hmm. If you feel fearful, I think that you have a right to wear a mask. And if you're comfortable with not wearing one, I think you should not have to.
Debbie, let me play devil's advocate and jump in here, because one of the arguments I hear a lot is, okay, but Debbie, but you could be infected with this and not know it, and you could be spreading it, and it affects somebody else, not just you. And that's why they say the government is within its lane to say, yep, we're going to require it and mandate it and give you that executive order.
Well, I still disagree with it if I don't want to. I do wear a mask once in a while when I'm around my boss. My boss is 84 years old and not in great health, so I do it for protection for them.
Uh-huh.
I'm in Walmart right now. Most people in my area don't have a mask on. We stay our distance away from each other. I wash my hands. I carry wet wipes. I keep alcohol wipes in my car. We wipe everything off to where our hands are raw.
Yeah.
And I actually worked for an oxygen company for 20 years, and unless you were on 3 liters of oxygen, you couldn't wear a mask. So personally, I feel that it's unhealthy for me. I am asthmatic, and I'm over 60. I'm 63.
Okay.
I don't. I feel bad to a certain degree that if people are fearful of me, I'm in the store, and I've had people look at me without having a mask on, like I'm doing something wrong. They're also the ones that aren't going the way that they tell you to go in the aisles. You know, you've got to take some ownership of what you do. And I think I have a right. My freedoms say I can do pretty much that. I don't understand that.
All right. So, Debbie, appreciate the phone call. I got a lot of calls coming in here. And something Debbie just said, actually, I kind of perked up when she said that. She goes, when I'm near my boss, who is in his 80s and in poor health, I wear one for him. Well, that's the whole point of the personal responsibility. Doesn't sound to me like she needed any kind of mandate to do that. She just said, in that situation, I'm going to do it because I think it's the right thing to do. And that's kind of the point for people who are arguing that we should not have these mandates. All right, Shane is up next. Where there's the button. Hey, Shane, you are on the air. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's either way. I do see that it's better not to wear it because something could happen with the healthy people. But that's just the discord that they've been sown, that from the beginning it's death toll, death toll, death toll. So everyone's kind of mind effed that they think, oh, my gosh. And the dereliction of knowledge hasn't really been coming out or been following. And now, like I said, a litmus test of us following along and just, you know, if you want to wear it, don't wear it. But if you want it, whatever, I have to wear it at work and it's whatever. But I'm not going to wear it in my house or around everything. I know my neighbors were all like, yeah, right, whatever. So, but being personally responsible does go a long way. Also, I will say that.
It does, Shane. Appreciate the thoughts there. And that's the thing is, if this were a massive public service announcement campaign, and what we heard were people saying, here's the evidence. We are begging you to wear a mask. We're begging you to carry around hand sanitizer. We're begging you to constantly wash your hands. And there was a lot of that. But I wonder that if that was the approach that was taken, and it was never a, we're going to force you to do it, you're bad if you don't do it, that kind of thing. I wonder if more people would be receptive, because we as Americans, especially here in the Midwest, we don't like being told what to do. I hate being told what to do. We don't like that. So someone says, we're going to mandate that you're going to wear a mask. A lot of times our answer is, oh, hell no, I'm not. Why? Because you told me to. But that's, again, to me, not the discussion that is the healthiest. The discussion I think is healthiest is it a good idea for you to? Well, maybe in some situations, you know, if you're going around somebody like we just had a second ago where they said, well, my boss is 84 and in bad health, I'm going to wear one for them. Great. And I'm not mad at you if you're one of those people who is trying to convince everybody else to wear a mask. I might get irritated with you if you're trying to get the government to order everybody to, because I don't think that's the government's role. I'm open to the argument otherwise. And keep in mind that this thing put me in the hospital for 9 days back in March. Three of those I was in the ICU. So if you say, don't you know what this thing can do? Yeah, I know what this thing can do. I just worry as much about the government overreach. Two things can be true at the same time. We should listen to the warnings and take care of ourselves and be smart and have common sense, and also worry about government stepping beyond its limits and where it should be and setting a really bad precedent. All right, let's go back to the phone here. Ron's up next. Hey, Ron, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking me back. Listen, I'm a physician, and I also contracted COVID early in March.
Mm.
And when I recovered, I got into a plasma study at Barnes where my antibodies were tested, and subsequently I became an antibody donor. Now, what I find interesting about this is that everybody via the biased media has all of a sudden become either an infectious disease specialist or an epidemiologist.
A lot of Twitter health degrees out there, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, you have to read studies, and if you do, you see how biased the information that we're getting is. So what is our endgame here? Are we all just going to shelter out, you know, until we find the vaccine? The problem with that is what they're finding is the antibodies do not last. So myself as a donor, it actually helps me to get re-exposed. So if plasma is a viable therapy, that I can produce enough of it and make my own antibodies so I do not get reinfected,
yeah,
or at least reinfected and become symptomatic.
Right.
It's, you know, I stopped wearing a mask early on just for that reason, because I wanted to, you know, bolster my immune system. And the looks I got from people, like, it was derision and hate. And it was like, who is this guy? You know, he's dirty. It's
It's like in the, it's almost like the Old Testament days. Unclean.
Yes, that's what it was. And actually, I deliberately went into places like Whole Foods and you know, even Costco to some degree in certain areas, just as a game to see how the looks that I would get.
Yeah.
But you know, I think if the media had not skewed this issue to make it politicized as they as it is, how they do with everything else, this would not be a problem.
Because yeah, I think a lot of that. Yeah, I think that's correct.
Responsibility.
Yeah, I agree.
I went to New York to see my father. Of course, I actually took all my clothes off before I got into his car. Anything that may have been in physical contact. The thing about wearing masks as well is that if you're wearing a mask and glasses, and your glasses are fogging up, the mask is useless because it's ineffective. That means that air is being expelled through the top of the mask, and air is being inspired through the top of the mask. So it's really not filtering through the medium itself. You know, there's any number of ways to look at this thing, but you have to think of what's the end game. Ultimately, what's happening is that they found that recently that the, as most viruses do, the latest variations, mutations, have become more virulent and less deadly. And that's a survival thing. If a virus kills its host immediately, like Ebola does, it's not really genetically successful because it doesn't get a chance to be spread. What's happening now is that we're having more spread, but the disease is becoming less virulent. And I think the numbers of people who are acquiring this are not being posted against the actual deaths that are occurring. So it's less deadly, but it spreads faster. And ultimately, you know, especially since we don't know the vaccine's even going to work, given the fact that our immune systems are over 12 months, people who have minor cases have been shown to have no antibodies at all, or at least given that curve, because it happened in 12 months since they've been testing. But ultimately, you know, I think herd immunity is the best thing, and we all should be exposed to a certain extent and just worry about the people who are most, and we know who they are, most vulnerable.
Hey, Ron, appreciate the call. We'll get a couple other calls in here. Yeah, I'm glad he's donating. I actually got called and asked me to donate because I've got the antibodies too. And I went in and unfortunately one of my prescription medications disqualifies me, which is really, really too bad because I really wanted to help out. So if they figure out a way to allow my particular prescription to still be compatible donating, I'm there, man. I'm there. Absolutely. Let's go to Paul. Hey, Paul, you are on the air. What do you think? And I've got about a minute or so for you.
Okay. I'll make it quick. You know, I generally agree with you about the government not mandating, but I strongly believe that President Trump did the right thing when he put it down to the governor and the states, because they know what's happening in their state. And I would take that even down from the governor down to the county and city, like they've done in St. Louis, where it's required, it should be mandated, especially when the numbers are spiking. So they've got to do it because they're responsible for the public safety. So, I think at the appropriate level and only when absolutely required.
Let me ask you one thing here. Then we got to get to a break, and then I'll get as many other calls as I can. The statement that the local governments are responsible for the public safety, is it the government's job to protect my health, or is it just my job to protect my health?
Well, I would say when it's this type of situation where it's a pandemic, it becomes their responsibility to do what's best for the people in their county and their communities. And we've been shown that people, if you leave it up to individuals, that they are not doing that if just allowed to run free, like down in Miami or other places where it just really has gotten totally out of hand now. So that's when I say they need to step in when it reaches a certain point.
All right, Paul, appreciate the thoughts on that. Don't totally agree, but I appreciate that, again, defensible position. So you don't have to agree with me to be a part of the program. Frankly, I'd like a lot of perspectives on this. 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. Got plenty of time to get your thoughts in on this. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Annie Fry.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're in the midst of the great mandated mask debate. We're going to get more of your calls on that in just a moment. Joe, if you want to hang on, you're going to go first, just to let you know. Also, the McCloskey controversy has a new twist. There's now an effort to end their careers. Petition to get them disbarred and so they cannot practice law is circulating, and a lot of people are signing it. And a young woman finds out that there are actually consequences for what you say and do online, and she is not happy with it. Yeah, she said something incredibly hateful, but it's really not her fault. She's a victim because that's how young people in their 20s think these days. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry. All right, everybody, hang on. We'll get back to the mask debate here in just a moment. Joined now by Illinois State Senator Darren Bailey, as I'm trying to find the right button. There we are. Senator Bailey here, like I said, on the Illinois side. Appreciate the time today. Your governor has actually had kind of a bumpy ride in the courts as of late, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, apparently enjoying it. So absolutely.
And so for those who aren't following enough, because we're so caught up in the COVID-19 debates and the masks and everything, lawsuit against the governor. Where does that stand right now?
Well, yesterday, as of 3:30, my case prevailed. Every executive order that he has issued since April 8th is struck down. The judge ruled that he indeed did violate his authority under the Illinois Constitution. One person has absolutely no right to impose what he has been imposing. So, it's interesting that as we on the eve of the birthday of our nation and everything that we stand for and everything that our Constitution allows, that, we're fighting this in Illinois, a one-person, essentially monarchy, a tyrant-type rule. So we shrugged this off 244 years ago, and it's really, really sad that we find ourselves in some of the same situations today. But ultimately, that's what this is all about, that the governor did not have the authority to be issuing these orders, that, in fact, if you want to change law, if you want to make it a law to make people wear masks, then the General Assembly needs to get together and pass that.
And so as it stands right now, then, there's no mask mandate in the state of Illinois then, right?
That is correct. The only mandates that stand in the state of Illinois would fall under anything that, the state has control over. So, schools,
sure.
And Secretary of State offices, but no, there's no mandates whatsoever in the state of Illinois on the general public or business.
Okay, so is there any talk of addressing this legislatively, as you were just mentioning? I mean, what's the update on that?
Well, here's the irony, and I've suggested this early on, is that I don't think any, of course, I'm a current representative, and I'm a Republican, and I'm running for Senate.
Oh,
and I don't think any. I think it's interesting. I don't know that any Democrat wants to go on record ahead of this election to impose such a thing. So no, there's been no talk of anything like that. However, this is Illinois, and anything can happen at any time. We found that out.
Well, I'm sure that we can fund it from somebody's future pension. That's how you do it there, right?
Well, the Democrat Party's hoping on two things. They're hoping that this progressive tax will pass, and then of the billions of dollars that they are borrowing from the federal government, which was just recently allowed, they are hoping that the federal government will indeed end up forgiving all this. So numbers up towards a $7 billion. They're borrowing and anticipating that the federal government will just simply forgive that, then we can carry on with the business as usual.
Representative, let me ask you this, and this is one of the frustrating things. When I was in the hospital with COVID, I intentionally did not watch the news. I didn't watch anything. I just focused on trying to get through it. And then when I got back home and looked at social media again and looked at the cable networks, I couldn't believe that something like this virus has been politicized so bad, and it really made me mad. I mean, I'm a talk radio guy, so it's not that I don't have opinions on it, but it's been so frustrating how addressing a health concern has become tribal and political, and I think that's destructive.
But so you have no idea how much I appreciate hearing that, because I've been on interviews most of the evening and most of the morning, and why is the press so liberal? That's what I can't figure out, because I'm hammered, and I appreciate your stance and Annie Fry's talk show, what she stands for, what you guys all stand for. But in general, the questions that I mean, it's just scripted that, you know, how dare I?
Right.
Don't I take this COVID situation seriously? Just on and on and on. And it's like, no, this really isn't about that. This is about a governor, one person, doing things that under our Constitution he cannot do. It's about upholding that. Now let's go back and you know, the governor under his first 30 days of executive powers, he should have put in place, and as a matter of fact, Illinois has mechanisms in place with the Department of Health how to deal with this. But you're right. Someone suggested to me this morning and shared some articles that you know, there were Democrats wearing masks, you know, early on back in April, and it is the you nailed it, the publicity of this, the political line that's been drawn. I'm still really trying to grasp hold of that and really fully understand that, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, because when we politicize it like that, then we're not focused on the actual things that will help people and make the right decisions collectively. And I mean collectively. We don't have to go through government to be collective. We can all say, okay, this is a good idea. Let's start encouraging, you know, things and discouraging other things. We just don't have to have the government do it all.
Thank you. And that's what good government, that's what good leadership does. They come together. We have discussions. We come up with plans together. And we develop implementations, and that just simply is not happening. It's definitely not happening in Illinois, and it certainly, unfortunately, does not appear to be happening, you know, as a whole across the land. So,
all right, Illinois State Representative Darren Bailey. Well, now that the orders are struck down, maybe my old man baseball leagues can start playing on your side of the state again.
There you go. Well, they're certainly free to do so if they so choose. And that's the other thing, for being under basically a, you know, essentially a house arrest or a one person rule for 3 to 4 months, it's kind of concerning how people are very, very timid of, well, can I actually do this? Is it okay? And I see the repercussions of a tyrannical rule, and it's a shame of what how people's minds and attitudes have been swayed. Just in a couple of months. It's very, very concerning.
Yeah. All right, Representative Bailey, thanks so much for the time and perspective. I really appreciate that insight.
Happy 4th. God bless. Thanks a lot.
All right. Then you can reach him on Twitter at Darren Bailey IL, State Representative Darren Bailey. All right. I promise Joe's going to be up next, and I'm a man of my word. Joe, you are on the air. Are you wearing a mask, and do you think the government is right or wrong in mandating one?
Mark, I'm not wearing a mask, and I kind of laugh at people that are in their car by themselves that wear a mask.
that's fair.
I think they're missing the point. I don't think we should mandate other people. I don't think our government should be allowed to mandate forcing people to wear a mask. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what America is about. I think the same people that come up with the making you wear a mask are the same people that told us hydroxychloroquine doesn't work. And the Henry Ford Clinic just came out and said that using hydroxychloroquine reduced the death toll by almost 50%. So we've known since March that hydroxychloroquine can save lives. And the federal government, this establishment, has allowed 50,000-plus Americans to die by not using hydroxychloroquine. And it's a tragedy, Mark.
Yeah, Mike, I'll be in for Mark this week, but I'm Mike. Okay. Yeah.
I'm
hey.
Sorry, Mike.
No worries. No worries. And Joe, I'm actually glad. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's the Henry Ford Clinic, but the Yale came out with it. That there's multiple doctors. It's like a 95% plus if you use hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Z-Pak, and yet they've kept it from us for 3 months. It's just a terrible tragedy. And these are the same people mandating you to wear a mask.
Joe, appreciate that. And I got a personal story on that as well. You know, I mentioned that I wasn't watching the news on purpose when I was in the hospital. First of all, I'll be real honest, I don't only remember about half of my stay in the hospital. The folks over at Missouri Baptist took great care of me. I was in there for 9 days. So kudos to all of them. A lot of nurses and doctors helped me out. I have no idea what any of them look like because they were all basically in spacesuits. So I have no idea who they are if I see them, you know, in the wild here in St. Louis. But the hydroxychloroquine treatment came about in March because there were some positive numbers from France and all that kind of stuff. And I was one of those people who was given that treatment. And within about 2 days, and I can only speak to my personal experience, within about 2 days, I was feeling remarkably stronger. And it made me feel closer to the point where I could get out, because I don't know, but I think that I probably would have been in for another 2 or 3 days at least if I hadn't have taken that turn. And maybe it's correlation, maybe it's causation, but I can tell you that pretty quick after starting that regimen of treatment, I started getting better. My lung capacity started getting better. My strength started getting better. My oxygen level started getting better. Is that solely because of that? I don't know. But it was definitely something that helped me personally. And then by the time I started watching news, I got to tell you, I was furious when I found out that this was politicized and governors were writing executive orders to ban it. And because for whatever reason, I don't know, you want to talk about leaving a decision between a doctor and a patient, which I hear from the left a lot, then that's one that should have been left alone. It was awful that was banned and that became political and tribal for some reason. All right, before the break here, we can get another. All right, it is 3:07. Are we going to break, Chad? Yes. Okay, we're going to go to break. All right, so we come back here. Steve, you're going to be first up, and Walt, if you want to hang on, you're right after him. And we can still get your thoughts on this, but I want to give you an update on the McCloskey situation as well. We'll get to that here in just a bit. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Annie Fry on 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, Chad, we figured out what people are feeling passionate about right now. One way or the other, man, it's we got some strong feelings about the not just the masks, but the government take on it, whether there should be a mandate. So, you know, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We still got time to get your phone calls in on this, and I really want to give you an update on the McCloskey controversy. And also, I'm going to play some audio for you. We'll probably do that right after the news, of a young woman who did not think that there were any consequences for her actions. I mean, she's on the far left, and they can say whatever they want, and they're not supposed to be canceled. Yeah, it can work that way. But the questions right now, by the way, I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Annie Fry. If you want to connect with me, and I hope that you do, I do the American Viewpoints program that airs on the weekends here. Look me up on Twitter, at AVP Radio Show. That's how to find me on Twitter. If you are on Parler, I'm there as well. And I actually got in early enough that I got my real name, at Mike Ferguson, on Parler. And please follow the American Viewpoints Facebook page as well. Just look it up, American Viewpoints. It's right there. All right, so today is day one of the mask mandate in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. And as we just found out from Illinois State Representative Darren Bailey, the orders for masks there have been shut down by the courts. So apparently on the Illinois side of the metro area, there is no mask mandate. It is just in the county and just in the city. St. Charles County, no mask mandate. Jefferson County, no mask mandate. I don't believe there's one in Warren County, as far as I know. But do you wear a mask? You think it's a good idea to? And that's fine. I mean, there are some people that have taken this to such an extreme. It's like they're saying, I disagree with the government ordering it. Okay. And then they somehow get mad at people who wear masks. Listen, I'm not mad at you if you want to wear a mask. That's your decision. And to me, the whole point of personal freedom is personal responsibility. If you want to wear one, good for you. That's fine. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. The question as to whether you specifically should be wearing a mask is different than whether everybody should be wearing a mask. And that's still different from whether or not the government should be mandating it. All right, let's go to, who did I say was first here? I think I said Steve. Okay, Steve, you are on the air. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it comes down to basically personal responsibility. And no, the government should not mandate it. I wear one if I have to, and most of the time I go down to Jefferson County where I don't have to. Mm-hmm. But to take it one step farther, Americans should be doing the right thing and stop buying stuff that is made in China.
Okay.
But support Americans and support American businesses. This stuff came from over there, so...
All right. Steve, appreciate that. Yeah, that is a market response. And that's a whole different thing than government orders. I loves me some market response. I'm a free market guy. Walt, thanks for hanging on. You are on the air. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't wear one. I'm 73 years old, and I believe that it's my decision to do whatever I want to do. I understand people. I understand about the virus, and I'm grateful that you made it through it, and I'm glad that you're on the best side now.
Thank you.
But one of the problems that I have is that, you know, Sam Page is acting like a doctor in this county and not like a county executive. He's following everything that the city mayor does, like she's running this place, and they're acting like they've got a merger already put in place for the city and county. And, of course, I'm totally against the merger.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, I think you're right about them being in lockstep. But to be fair, Sam Page is actually a doctor.
He is.
Yeah, so
he's not the doctor.
For the county, right. Yeah, I sincerely hope that he gets voted out of office. Although if he wins the primary, then he's going to waltz to re-election or to election.
Well,
he wasn't elected in the first place.
He'll never win the primary with the people as aggravated as I hear out there, because they're upset because he's blocking everything.
Yeah.
And I think that he is in the same situation as the Illinois governor. I think he's overstepped his rights and power. And I think if somebody took it to task and went to court, he would not be able to do what he's doing.
That may be the case. Well, don't apologize for it. Walt, appreciate that. I'm going to get to a couple of the calls now. Let me say one thing on this, and this is probably what's going to get me in trouble, Chad, is that I completely agree with Walt that I think that Mayor Crewson and County Executive Page have overstepped what government should be doing.
Yeah.
I really do think that. However, Governor Mike Parsons directed health emergency orders and the health mandates that he had on, those have expired, but he left a carve out specifically that allows local governments to do this. So part of this blame, and I know Republicans aren't going to like this, part of this blame goes on Governor Mike Parson for specifically and proactively allowing local governments. So what's happened is in the city of St. Louis, the county of St. Louis, Jackson County on the other side of the state, the city of Kansas City, it's about to happen in Columbia tomorrow. There's been discussion of it in Springfield, but it didn't happen. So basically what you've got are the areas that are run by the farthest leftist extremist politicians have taken hold of that, and they've issued heavy-handed government mandates. So blame Sam Page if you don't like it. Blame Lyda Crewson if you don't like it. They're ultimately responsible for their dictates. But also don't forget that part of this reason that they're allowed to do that is because Governor Mike Parson specifically allowed them to do that. Remember, the words Republican, and I don't have a personal beef with Governor Parson. I've known him for a long time. He's probably mad at me right now because I've said this in a couple different shows. But the words Republican and small government aren't always synonymous anymore. There are a lot of good Republicans who are very small government. There are some who aren't as small government as others would like them to be. Let's see. Let's go to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, you are on the air. Sarah, what do you think?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. I'm sorry. I'm just getting into my car. You know, I've been listening to your show, and I have to self-identify as a conservative.
Okay.
Which I am.
Sarah, that is you're in a safe space for that right here, just so you know.
Thank you. And I support President Trump 1,000,000%. However, I seem to be on the opposite side of what a lot of conservatives feel right here, in that I think that the government has to mandate the wearing of masks because, as evidenced from the callers to your show, one after another says, I want to do what I want to do, and if I'm around an elderly person or if I'm around my sickly boss, I'll put on a mask. But we can't rely on that. We have to be able, because you don't know if you're passing me by in Walmart, which is where I'm just coming from, so I apologize. I was on hold for a while. you don't know my health condition. You don't know the health condition of anyone that you're passing in a store, in a public space. And you have an obligation as a human being to protect that other person. It doesn't have to be your elderly aunt or your, you know, elderly boss or your sickly cousin where you say, well, if I'm around him, I'm going to put on a mask. So it's that false, you know, really misguided way of thinking that really is what's instigating this whole mandate that we all must wear masks. Because what happens is, if left to our own devices, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that will not do the right thing. And that's and this isn't about being conservative. I'm as conservative as they get. You know, that's not even a question. This is a question about an incredibly infectious disease. Well, it's a virus.
Virus, yeah.
It's a virus, and it's so highly contagious. This isn't about red. This isn't about blue. This isn't about black, white. This is so out of all of that. You have to follow just the science, and the science tells us that this is highly contagious and that we need to protect one another if we're in any kind of close proximity by wearing a mask. Why? I mean, when I hear your callers, I mean, I was driving and then I went into Walmart while I was on wait, you know, hold, and finally came back out here. It's like, I've got to call in because somehow this has become so politicized, and not just by the left, but by the right as well, that somehow this becomes, you know, a freedom and a civil liberties thing. It's not. We're in a pandemic. And this is about life or death.
Sarah, let me ask you this, and this question sincerely, is there a line when personal freedom and civil liberties are no longer applicable that we are supposed to say, we don't care about that, we don't care about those right now because of this? So there's a limit to when we have personal freedom and civil liberties. I mean, that is a sincere question.
No. And I take it exactly the way you're putting it. And I'm with you 1,000,000% there. Here, I don't want my personal liberties taken. But you know what? If I want to fly on an airplane, if I want to go to another state, which I wouldn't fly right now anyway, but let's say I wanted to. There's certain things that I'll subject myself to, and so will you, and so will everyone else, because under the umbrella of safety. I'm hoping that the way they're checking me, they're checking everyone, and that, you know, we can be safe. And we live in a time of terrorism and people with bad intentions. So we suspend those liberties just momentarily so we can fly on a plane and we can hopefully get where we're getting in one piece. And I see that in the same way here. Put on an effing mask, excuse my expression, when you go into Walmart, when you go into Schnucks, when you're in a public place, because I don't have to know that it's my uncle next to me that has a heart condition or is diabetic or is fill in the blank. We're doing this to protect one another.
Okay, Sarah, I've got a lot of people that want to weigh in on this, and I've got to get to the news. Thank you so much. It sounds like Sarah and I just don't agree on that, which is fine. You know, here's the amazing thing. Sarah and I look at it from different perspectives, and we don't hate each other, and we didn't just yell at each other. I do disagree with her on the way that airport security is done as well, but shows like this, that's what this is about, is different perspectives. Let's go to Ben. Ben, you are next. You're up on the air. I've got about a minute for you. What do you think?
Oh, great. Sarah, I appreciate your perspective, but first of all, the science tells us that masks are not all created equal. So a mask around your chin, like I've seen in numerous restaurants, fast food places lately, where the people behind cooking are wearing a mask like a chin guard, not like a mask to protect anybody from anything. Second of all, if you're concerned about your health and you have a heart disease, don't walk through Walmart. If you're concerned about your own health, buy the best mask you can buy and stay at home. I know people who haven't left their house in 9 weeks. So don't leave it to me to protect you from your own stupidity. If you've got a sensitivity, you can certainly get by without doing it. I wear a mask when I go into stores out of respect for the people that work there. But that's my choice, I think. I don't think they should mandate it. And as I said, 3/4 of the masks I see are completely worthless. And if you look at the science of it, you'd realize that it totally doesn't mean anything if a person has a bandana around their face, other than the fact that, you know, you can't tell who they are. So that's my opinion. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate that. All right, let's sneak in one more phone call. Sam, can you get to the point in about 30 seconds? Because I got the news coming your way.
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you think?
Yes, sir. Do you have a carbon monoxide tester in your house?
Got one on each floor, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a smoke detector in your house?
Uh-huh.
Has your basement been checked for radon?
Not recently.
Mask is the same thing. Do you have a fuel gauge on your car? You don't want to run out of fuel. You can look at it. Temperature in your car. You don't want to overheat. You can see it. Wear a mask, man. It'll help everybody.
Hey, Sam, appreciate that.
I just consider myself American.
Fair enough. Sam, appreciate that. I'm sorry to jump off here because we do have the news coming your way. All right, the McCloskeys. Not only have they made international news when they had a confrontation with some Black Lives Matter protesters right here in St. Louis, now there's an effort by the activists and some others, the protesters and activists, to try to get them disbarred and banned from earning a career, from continuing their work. I'll give you those updates in just a second. And also, oh, man, I'm going to play some audio from a young woman who thought that she could say or do anything she wanted without any sort of repercussion, and she found out the hard way that's not the case. Yeah, you can get canceled if you're on the left, too. Get your thoughts on that. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Annie Fry, right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.